So anyway, how many of you are ready for the word? I am ready to share it. Today, open your Bible with me to the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 4. We're looking for kingdom attitudes. We're looking at kingdom attitudes. Last week, we looked at the attitude of being dependent upon God. The scripture tells us, blessed are the poor in spirit, the humble are dependent upon the Lord. And this week, we're going to look at the hurting and the kingdom attitude, and it's kind of a strange attitude really to adopt, but it's an attitude that when we need to mourn, we're willing to mourn. I just want to just tell your neighbor today, everyone hurts every once in a while, right? Every once in a while, there's going to be a hurt in your life. How many of you know life isn't easy? Life is tough. It's hard. It's difficult. Ever since Adam sinned many thousand years ago, the world's been broken, right? The world is broken. Everything on the planet is broken. And because of that, our relationships don't work perfectly. There's no perfect relationship. There's no perfect marriage. And so we all have losses in our life. We have defeats. We have discouragements. How many of you know this is not heaven where we live? We live on planet Earth, a fallen world. And so the question becomes, how do you overcome the hurts of life? How do you rise above them? And so with that in mind, we come to the second beatitude that Jesus gave in Matthew 5 and verse 4. He said this, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, that statement made by Jesus is almost ludicrous, if you think about it, especially the first part, because the word blessed means happy. So the scripture literally says, happy are those who mourn. In order to be happy, you've got to be sad. What does all of that mean? Well, let me give you a couple of insights into this verse, all right? And the first insight is this, that God doesn't expect me to be happy all the time. How many of you realize that? It's just a fact of life. There is a myth that goes around that Christians, if you're a believer, if you know Jesus, that you've always supposed to have a smile and always cheerful, always kind of out picking the blue bonnets and talking about peace and love. But how many of you know that isn't true to life? In fact, the scripture tells us this in Ecclesiastes. It tells us that there's a time for everything, right? There's a time to be happy, a time to be sad. The scripture says there's a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and there's a time to dance. And so the Bible tells us that sometimes weeping is appropriate. Mourning is appropriate, right? Grieving is appropriate because the fact is that the world is filled with sadness. There's a lot of pain in our world. Just scroll up and down the news and begin to read the news and you'll be able to see that. And so sometimes the only appropriate, logical response to life is grief. God doesn't just expect for us to kind of just grin and bear it, stuff all our emotions down inside of us and smile all the way through the storms of life. In fact, the word Jesus, these are Jesus words. He told us, blessed are you when you grieve and when you mourn. Now, there's a lot of people that think that the word grief just refers to when you've lost somebody. It's for after a funeral. It's for those that season, when somebody passes. But how many of you realize there's a lot of losses in life? There's a lot of losses. You can lose your health, your job, your money, your reputation, your energy. You could lose a dream. And God says that the only appropriate response to the losses of life is not to just fake it, right? We're supposed to face it. We're not to go on grinning, but we're just to actually grieve those disappointments of life. And so the Bible tells us that we're supposed to mourn our disappointments. Disappointments are those things that are good things that didn't happen to us. Have you ever had something you wanted to happen and didn't happen? Hello. A good thing that you wish could have happened and you wind up being disappointed? And the Bible tells us we're supposed to mourn for our sins. I'm supposed to mourn and grieve when I've failed the Lord, when I've fallen short of what He's asked us to be. And the Bible says I'm to grieve and to mourn over the sufferings in the world and not just kind of be blasé about it. The Bible says I'm to grieve that some of my friends, some of my family, that they don't really know Christ and that they're spiritually lost. There's a lot of things that the Bible tells us that we're to grieve over. And so the Bible doesn't tell us that we're supposed to have a kind of a fake happiness all the time. How many think that's good news today? And the second thing is, you can write this down if you want, is that grief is essential to health. You'll be happier if you learn how to grieve, and you'll be healthier. It's essential to emotional health, spiritual health, physical health, mental health. And if you never grieve about anything, if you're never sad about anything, it means one of three things, okay? It could mean A, that you're out of touch with reality because there's a lot of stuff to be sad about in the world. Hello? Or B, it could mean that you're out of touch with your own emotions and you're kind of living in denial, right? Or C, it could mean that you simply don't love. Because to love something or to love someone deeply makes you sad when you lose something or someone, right? Because when you love and you see sad things, that's what makes you grieve. Grief is a painful emotion, but it's also a very healthy emotion. And I believe that it's God's gift, right? It's a tool that God has given us to help us through the transitions of life. There's really two unhealthy reactions to the losses of life. And one of them is repression, and the other is suppression. Now, repression is when I unconsciously try to block a painful thought from coming up into my mind. And suppression is when I intentionally think to myself, I'm not going to think about that. I'm just going to forget about that. I'm going to push that down. I'm going to stuff it down on the inside and not think about it. Listen, God doesn't want us to repress or to suppress our feelings and our thoughts. Listen, when you're going through a tough time, when your heart is broke, when you face the loss in your life, God doesn't want you to suppress it or repress it. What He wants you to do is He wants you to find a family of believers where you can express it, where you can talk about it, where you can let it out. And He certainly wants for you, God wants for you to be able to confess it to Him, to talk to God about it. And you know that when you do that, you're on the road to healing. Because let me tell you, if you don't let it out, it may be that you'll start acting it out, right? If you suppress down all your anger down on the inside, all of a sudden you're going to explode at somebody who had nothing to do with the situation that you were even grieving about. And so you've got to learn how to let it out in healthy ways. And you know, there are some of us, maybe we were hurt as we grew up. Maybe your parents divorced, or maybe you were abused as a child, or maybe you were hurt by something somebody said about you, but it hurt you very, very deeply. And as a child, you didn't really know how to handle all of that. And so you stuffed it down and you never grieved that hurt. Did you know it's okay to go back and go ahead and grieve over that thing? And the reason is because if you don't grieve the losses of life, what happens is you kind of get stuck right there. David talked about this in the book of Psalms 32 and verse 3. He said this, when I kept things to myself, I felt weak deep inside me. I moaned all day long. When you go through a loss in life, or you lose a job, you lose a friend, you lose a deal, you lose something in your life that you were hoping would happen, or maybe even you lose a marriage. Listen, you can either mourn or you can moan. Right? You can mourn or you can moan. Now, how many of you know moaning is negative, right? Mourning is positive. Moaning is basically having a pity party. That's not what Jesus was talking about. Mourning is when you call out to God in your grief and in your pain. Psalms chapter 39 and verse 2, David says these words. He said, I was silent and held my peace to no avail. And my distress only grew worse. You know, if you're too busy to grieve the losses of life and you have to stuff it down on the inside and you just kind of are still about it, thinking it's all going to go away, you know, sometimes your distress can just grow worse. And so when things happen around you, bad things happen, let me tell you, sometimes those things aren't our choices, right? Sometimes things happen in our world that we had no choice in it. We just got caught up in it. Somehow we got hurt in it. Sometimes we got emotionally wounded. But let me tell you something. We do have a choice whether or not we're willing to go to God with it. Hello? We do have a choice whether we're willing to go ahead and feel sad. Go ahead and grieve that, because we don't want to get stuck. Listen, Jesus said, blessed are they who mourn. And the reason why he said they're blessed is because when you mourn, there comes a point in time when you're going to be comforted. Come on. How many of you believe that the Holy Spirit can comfort us? I think that I really feel like this message is down inside me today, because this has been a tough year for me in some ways. I lost my mom last year. I'm grieving some different parts of my life, some losses that I feel like I've suffered. And so I feel like I could kind of speak from experience about the grieving process. But what I've discovered this past year is that there's a God that's very real. Come on, somebody. I said, there's a God that's very real, that if you're willing to take your pain and turn it to the Lord and call out to him, that he will come to you and he will comfort you. Can we give him a mighty hand of praise today? Amen. And so today I want to give you 6 ways that God blesses a broken heart. And let me just say that God's intention is not that we get over it. In fact, how many of you know those words are kind of ugly words if someone tells it? Have you ever had anybody tell you just get over it? God doesn't want you to get over it. He wants you to get through it, right? He wants you to get through it. And part of that is learning how to mourn. So how does God comfort us? What are the ways that God comforts us? The first thing God does, and it's beautiful to me, it's precious to my mind, is that God draws us close to himself. He draws us into himself. I love this verse in Psalms chapter 34 and verse number 18. It says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those whose spirits have been crushed. Wow. God is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves the spirits of those who have been crushed. You know, sometimes we feel like God's a million miles away. You've ever felt that way? We feel like he's not there in our moment of pain, in our moment of disaster, in our moment when we feel lost. We feel like God is far away. But how many of you know that what you feel and what's real are not the same thing? What you feel and what's real are not the same thing. Hello? This verse tells us here that the Bible says that God is close to the brokenhearted. He's paying attention. He's watching. And I love Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, because it says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Hello? I will never leave you, or I will never abandon you. You know what that means? That means that even in your most embarrassing disgrace, even in your most massive failure, even in the thing that you're most ashamed of in your whole life, that means to tell you that God is right there. Come on. He's right there beside you. When your life feels crushed, he'll be right there. 2 Corinthians 6:10 says this, our hearts ache, but at the same time, we have the joy of the Lord. You say, well, what does that mean? How can our hearts ache and have the joy of the Lord at the same time? Let me tell you, that's the difference that Jesus makes. Amen? If you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, if you don't know him personally, if you're not connected to him, then the only resource that you have to handle the griefs of life and the losses of life, the only resource that you have is your own self. And let me tell you something. God never intended for us to go through things alone. Amen. He wants to be there for us. And I can tell you that you can have an ache in your heart, and yet you can still have the joy of the Lord. Secondly, God grieves with us. Aren't you glad? Thank you so much, Dwight. Appreciate it. Secondly, God grieves with us. You know, the reason why we actually have the ability to grieve is because we are made in God's image, right? We're made in God's image. We're not animals. We're different. We're not insects. Now, I think animals can grieve to a certain extent. But how many of you know a flea doesn't grieve, right? A grasshopper doesn't grieve. But human beings grieve. And the reason is because we've been made in the image of God. The only reason why we have emotion at all is because our God is an emotional God. And the Bible tells us that God grieves. God weeps when he sees inhumanity of man to man. I believe that he grieves, he weeps. When God sees us sin, he weeps. When God sees wars destroying people, when God sees this planet being destroyed, I believe that God feels emotion. He grieves. And because we're made in the image of God, the Bible tells us that God weeps with us. He's not standing on the sidelines. He suffers with us. I love this verse in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 3. It's talking about Jesus. And it says this, that he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with the bitterest grief. He knew suffering firsthand. So when you come to Jesus and you tell him about what's going on in your life, it's not like that he says, I don't understand what you're talking about. He understands completely what we're talking about. It's not like he says, just buck up, you know, just get over it. You're going to be all right. No, he understands what it is to have sorrow and grief in life. And in fact, the scripture in the book of Hebrews tells us that he's touched with the feelings of our weakness and our infirmity. In other words, when we feel something, he also feels it. Aren't you glad that God is that way? I'm so glad. I love the story of Jesus and Lazarus in the book of John. Let me read a little bit of it to you here today. It says, when Jesus saw Lazarus' sister sobbing. How many of you realize that Lazarus had died, right? And he saw Jesus saw Lazarus' sister sobbing and saw how all those with her were crying also. His heart was touched and he was deeply moved. Then Jesus started crying. See how much he loved Lazarus, they said. Wow. I told you that grief is an evidence of love. And you can see it right here in the person of Jesus, right in the Word of God. Because he was crying, because he was willing to grieve with them, they knew that he loved. And I'll tell you something, the more you love, the more you're going to grieve things. Amen? If you're apathetic, if you're callous, if you don't care what happens to anybody else, if it doesn't really bother you, what's happening to your neighbor or your family, then you don't love them, you don't care. But let me tell you something, God is not that way and neither is Jesus. The shortest verse in the Bible is found right here, John 11:35. It says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. The Bible said that Jesus started crying. Now, you know us guys, we've all been told when we were little boys, right? What do they tell us? What about big boys? Big boys don't cry. Big boys don't cry. Well, let me tell you something about Jesus. Jesus was the most manly man that there ever was. Hello? Can we get a big amen for Jesus today? Can we get a big hallelujah for somebody who was willing to, he volunteered to pick up the cross, carry it as far as he could, to take the stripes on his back, to be beaten like that, all because he loved so much. And Jesus wasn't afraid of emotion. And neither do we have to be afraid of emotion or embarrassed by emotion. So God grieves with us. Aren't you glad? God grieves with you. Has anybody ever felt his presence while you're grieving? Amen? Amen. I remember I made a little slideshow about my mother when she passed away. And And for me, that was part of my grieving process, looking at all the pictures and putting it into a video that would play at the, at her memorial service. And some of you were so kind and came and you saw that. And I can remember, you know, finally when I got it done, I said, okay, now I'm going to sit, I'm going to watch it. And it was in that moment, watching that for the very first time, that I really allowed myself to grieve. And as soon as I began to allow myself to grieve, you want to know who else was there? The Holy Spirit. Come on. Jesus Christ. I mean, he was there. I felt his presence. I felt his power. I felt his comfort. Come on. We're blessed because when we grieve, that allows God to help us to experience his comfort. Blessed are those who mourn, because they're going to be comforted. And then the third thing that God gives us, he gives us a church family for support. Aren't you grateful for the family of God? God never meant for us to go through life on our own. There's an old statement, and it goes like this: when you share a joy, it's doubled, right? And when you share a sorrow, it's cut in half. I like that. Because you see, God never intended for us to carry that load all by ourselves. And when something negative or bad happens to you, and you say, I'm not going to tell anybody about this. I'm going to keep it a secret. I'm going to keep it to myself. What you've done is you've just broken one of the precious principles of the Word of God. Because you see, God encourages us to be able to share our burdens with our church family so that we can grieve in community. How many of you know that healing comes in groups sometimes? Amen. Healing comes when we're together. You weren't meant to carry it on your own. And I believe that everybody needs enough phone numbers in their telephone of the family of God, that if something critical happens to you, that you can immediately send out a text or two, right, to help carry that load. Come on, give Jesus a hand for the church today. Romans chapter 12, verse 5 says this: in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. Then it goes on to say, be devoted to each other like a loving family. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. We're to be devoted to each other like a family is devoted to one another. And so how do we do that? We sympathize with each other. We when somebody has a need, when somebody is struggling, we also struggle with them. We encourage them. We care for them. And I'll just tell you something, life's going to happen. Tell your neighbor today, life's going to happen. Whether you want it to or not, life is going to happen to you. And at that moment, you're going to need somebody. You're going to need people. There's no reason for you to go through life all on your own. I'll never forget, we had a lady who came to this church shortly after we opened the doors, and we had a church dinner here, And she was invited to several events. Some of our leaders talked to her and invited her. And her daughter called me the next day. They were so upset. They were furious. They said, how dare you try to have that dinner and manipulate us into further involvement? They were just upset with me. I said, well, I'm so sorry. We didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I tried to apologize. They said, well, we're not coming back. I said, well, okay. You know, I'm so sorry about that. And amazingly enough, about a year later, I got an email. It was from the daughter. She said, my mom fell and broke her hip. And it's been horrible. We're all alone. We're here. We're all alone. How amazing is it that the Church of Jesus Christ tried to reach out, tried to embrace, tried to build relationships, tried to make friends, and then that being rejected, they found themselves in desperate need. And we tried to call, but they would not answer our calls. But, you know, may the Lord, I pray that the Lord was with them in some way or another. And that's why we need each other. And sometimes we'll fail each other, but the truth is we do need each other. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this: comfort each other and give each other strength. You know, either you are at a point in your life where you you need comfort or you're at a point where you can give comfort, one or the other, right? And so if you're at a point in your life where you're not in major pain right now, then you need to be thinking, how can I reach out to people that are around me and give them comfort? The first thing you've got to do, my friend, is give you little pieces of tidbits of advice, okay, that'll help us as we minister to one another. The first thing is never minimize another person's pain, right? I heard about a mom recently, a lady, a mother who had lost a child through drowning, and a neighbor came over and trying to, you know, help, trying to comfort her, said, well, at least you're young enough to have another child. How many of you know that mom was not thinking, oh, I think I'll just have another one? That mother was thinking, I want my child back. I'm grieving my child, the child that I love, you know. So you know, we never want to use the word at least, because when you use the word at least, what you're doing is you're minimizing somebody's pain. You know, at least you're young enough to get remarried. At least, you know, all kinds of things that you could say there. And when we use those words, what we're doing is we're minimizing somebody's pain. And God doesn't want us to try to minimize someone's pain. What God, in fact, sometimes we don't even have to say anything. How many of you know? Sometimes it's just the ministry of you being there, your presence there just says enough. Amen? And then the other thing is that we can't rush people to get well. How many of you realize that we have our own timetable and we want to say, chop, chop, get ready, you know, you're going to be okay, hurry up. And we don't realize sometimes how long grieving and mourning takes. You know, some people have described grief as though it were the tide. And how many of you know that the tide is like, you know, sometimes it's there, sometimes it's a shallow tide, and then other times it comes in like a massive flood, and it comes in, and then it goes back out. But let me tell you, the beautiful thing is that we can't rush people, and that God understands, what we're going through. And then number four, God uses grief to help us grow. God even uses pain to help us grow. How many of you ever say, I've grown because of pain? Hello. The first thing God does is God uses pain to get our attention sometimes. C.S. Lewis wrote these words. He said, God whispers to us in our pleasure, but he shouts to us in our pain. Amen. Pain is kind of like God's megaphone. And pain sometimes says to us, not always, you know, sometimes we grieve things that are none of our, because we're immature or not because of, we made mistakes, but sometimes pain, we grieve things because we've lacked in things. And pain says we need to grow and we need to change. You know, we rarely change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat. Hello? Am I right? We change sometimes because pain causes us to change. Proverbs 20 and verse 30 says this, and I love this version. It says, sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Is there anybody who would just say, hey, I've had some painful experiences in my life, and it's caused me to change some of the things that I do and my person. The second thing is that God is able to bring good out of bad. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you grateful for Romans 8:28 that says we know, not that we guess, no sir, we know that in all things, not some things, not a few things, but in all things, not just the good things, in everything, God works for the good of those who love him. Oh, that's a great scripture. Let me tell you something, God's able to bring good out of bad. God's able to change a negative into a positive. God is able to cause us to grow and to mature in understanding and in our ability to empathize with others. God is able to take control of all those things. And while we may not be able to choose our circumstances of life, we can certainly choose whether we're going to be bitter or whether we're going to be better. Hello? Is there anybody in the house today that says, no matter what happens to me, I'm going to be better. Hello? No matter what goes on in my life, I've made up my mind. I'm going to try to be like Jesus. Amen. And the third thing he does is he prepares us for eternity. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 and 8, 17 and 18 says, these troubles are getting us ready for an eternal glory. They're getting us ready for an eternal glory. What troubles? The sickness, the sadness, the suffering, the lack, the loss, the pain, the pressure, the problem. All those troubles are getting us ready for an eternal glory that will make all of our troubles here on earth seem like nothing. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you, you're not going to take your car with you to heaven. You're not going to take your clothes with you to heaven. You're not going to take your career with you to heaven. But you are taking you to heaven. Come on. Amen. And let me tell you, and God understands that and he knows that. And that's why God's concern for who we are, for our character, is a whole lot more. He's more concerned about that than he is about our comfort. Don't you just... I mean, our flesh just wishes that God would say, I'm just going to care for your flesh. I just want you to be comfortable on the earth. God doesn't say that. God says, look, I want you to be changed, to become like me. And if you got to go through some trials and tribulations, if you got to grieve, if you got to mourn some stuff, that's okay. Because in the end, you're going to live with me in heaven forever. Hallelujah. Amen. It makes us to grow. And then, another thing that God does when we mourn and grieve is that God gives us the hope of heaven. The amount of time you're going to live on this planet is very small. Interestingly enough, I got an email this morning from Tim Barker, and the man who has credentials with the Assemblies of God, all right, which I'm a part of, one of my pastor brothers, I've never met him. The oldest credentialed member of the Assemblies of God passed away yesterday. He was 105 years old. Amen? That's a long life, right? 105. Wow. He lived a long time. But how many of you realize that 105 years compared to eternity, that's not much. That's nothing. That's nothing. And it's going to be over before you realize it. It's nothing compared to millions and millions of years in heaven. Amen. I don't know about you, but I have hope of heaven. How many of you are ready for heaven? Now, let me tell you, young people don't get this, all right? Let me just talk to you if you're under 30. Most young people are like, are you kidding me? I don't want to go to heaven. I like my life here on the planet. But let me tell you something. After you've lived a while, pretty soon heaven starts sounding a little bit better. Am I right about a place where there's no suffering, a place where there's no sorrow, a place where there's no tears, a place where there's no burdens that you've got to carry, a place where there's no bills that you got to pay. Come on, do I got a witness in the house? There's no cars I got to repair. There's no neighbors I got to deal with that are negative. Hello. I'm telling you, I'm grateful for the hope of heaven today. Because if it weren't for heaven, I'd just be in despair because life is hard. Looking around the world and see, I mean, there's just too many rapes and too many molestations and too many children being abused. There's all kinds of stuff. If that's all there was to life, I would feel like I was in despair. But let me tell you something. One day all that's going to pass away. Hallelujah. We're going to live with him forever. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says this. It says, we don't want you to be ignorant about believers who have died. We don't want you to grieve like the people who have no hope. Let me tell you, I've preached my fair share of funerals, all right? And I've looked at times into the eyes of people who had no hope. They didn't believe in God. They don't believe in this. They don't believe there even is a God. You just, when you die, that's it. You're just gone. They have no hope. Let me tell you something. I feel sorry for them because I've seen the terror on their face and the despair on their face. And let me tell you, the test of life, are you with me today? The acid test of life, of your faith, of your worldview is not really how you handle the blessings and the parties of life, all right? The acid test of your faith is how you handle the failures and the funerals and the deaths of life. Let me tell you something. We don't grieve as those who do not have any hope. Come on. We have hope for those who know Jesus Christ. Amen. We will see them again. again. I'm going to see my mother again. Hallelujah. Excuse me if I get a little excited this morning. Amen. So you say, well, how do we grieve then? What are we grieving for? We're grieving just for ourselves. Am I right? We're just grieving because we miss them. Amen. I love Revelation 21 and verse 4. It says this. It says, God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. Amen. You know, you can go through anything almost if you can in Christ. You can go through anything, no almost to it. You can go through anything if you know at the end there's light. At the end there's hope. At the end there's Jesus. At the end there's heaven. At the end there's gates of pearl. At the end there's a city that's built four square. At the end there's a new Jerusalem. Amen. Amen. And then lastly, and I'm going to close with this today. Thank you for your patience today. God wants to use our pain to help others. You know, that's the highest purpose there is in our pain, right? It's the highest and best use of the pain that you go through. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Let me tell you, God does not want you to waste a hurt. God never wastes a hurt, but sometimes we do because we're not willing to use it to help others. But God's plan is very plain in the Word. God wants to take our hurt and also the comfort that we've been comforted with, and He wants us to be able to use that in ministry to somebody else. I mean, who can better help the needs of a special, who can help the mother of a special needs child, like the mother of a special needs child, right? Who can better help somebody who's lost a son or a daughter in the war than somebody else who's lost a son or a daughter in the war? Who can better help somebody who's lost a limb than somebody else who's lost a limb? Who can better help somebody who has gone through the pain of an addiction or a marriage failure or any of the other evils in the world than somebody who went through it? God doesn't want us to waste our hurts. What He wants us to do is just simply redirect our focus, right? 2 Corinthians 1:4 says this. It says, God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others with the same comfort we receive from God. Your greatest ministry is going to come out of your deepest hurt. You can write that down. Your greatest ministry is going to come out of your deepest hurt, because you can relate, right? You can say, I've been there, done that. You know, we think that the world is going to be impressed by our success, by our prosperity, by our blessings. But let me tell you what really impresses the world. What really impresses the world is when we're able to walk through suffering and difficulty and heartache and depending upon Jesus, and we remain faithful to Him and we learn how to receive that comfort. Is there anybody who knows somebody like that? You can say, man, they've went through some deep waters. They've went through some stuff. But let me tell you something. When they start talking about God and how He brought them through and how they had to depend upon Him and how His presence was always there and how He showed up in their life, let me tell you something, that's when the world stands up and begins to listen. Because that, let me tell you something, it's real, because everybody goes through it and everybody needs comfort and everybody faces the griefs and the mournings of life. Amen. Would you stand with me today? Thank you so much today. Amen. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. God wants to send His comfort today into this place. God wants to send His Spirit into this house today to bring comfort today. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me today? Thank you so much. Heavenly Father, I just pray today that You take this simple message, Lord, and God, that You would use it to encourage someone's life today. God, I know, Lord, that even in a small group like there is here today, there's somebody here who's grieving. There's somebody here who's mourning. There's somebody here who's looking at their life and they're facing a disappointment. They're facing a difficulty. They're facing a trial. They're facing something. They're grieving a loss of some sort. God, I pray today, I pray, God, that you would allow them to be able to find some part of the body of Christ to be able to express that. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would bring the church to bear and to act in their life in some way. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would sustain them. God, I pray that you would let them know by visiting them with your presence that you're there, that you care, that you're not a million miles away. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Nobody looking around for just a moment. I'm not even going to ask you to come forward today for special prayer. Certainly, if you would like that, we could be able to do that. But I just wonder, is there anybody who would say, you know, I really do need the comfort of the Lord today? Would you lift your hand? I need some comfort, yes. Amen. Hands are going up in this place. You need some comfort. You're facing things. You're facing some issues. You're facing some stuff in your life. I want to just pray. About four people raised their hand today. Would you just join with me in prayer for them? Would you just do that? Would you just call out for them right now? Heavenly Father, I just pray, God, that you would move mountains, God, on their behalf. And God, most of all, I pray, Lord, that through the circumstances in their life, God, that you'd bring good out of bad. Lord, I pray, Lord, that God, that you would encourage them, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that you would transform them. I pray, Lord God, that because of what they're going through, Lord, that they could experience the comfort of the Holy Spirit today. God, I pray that you would give them a peace that goes beyond all understanding. God, that they would leave this place saying, you know, the Lord is with me. He will never leave me or forsake me or abandon me ever. He will not leave me. He'll be there. And Lord, I pray, God, that they would find that place of comfort in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. How many of you say, Pastor, I really would like to be used by God to comfort others? I really would like to be used by God. Would you lift your hand today if you'd like to be used by the Lord to comfort others? Can I just open my heart to you for just a moment? You know, we've been doing our very best for quite a few months at Celebrate Recovery. And to be honest with you, we need some more warriors. We need some more people who are willing to say, you know what? I'll be there every Friday night. Let me just ask you just kind of a personal question. What did you do last Friday? What was so wonderful that you had to do that? Wouldn't it have been possible instead to be a part of a great ministry that's reaching out to people, making a difference in people's lives? We need people who are willing to comfort others. No matter who you are, you face one of these three things: a hurt, a habit, or a hang up. One of those three things, you've faced it, you've conquered it, you've looked at it. And let me tell you, there's people out in our world today, so many people, that they need a place where they can come and express their grief, express their sorrow, have someone listen to it, a safe place. And that's what Celebrate Recovery is all about. And we're just going to lift that up and we're going to pray over it today. And we're going to pray that God would use every person that raised their hand today. Heavenly Father, God, I just pray, Lord, for Celebrate Recovery, for that ministry, Lord. I pray, Lord, that God, that our efforts on social media, I pray, Lord, that our sign out in front of the church, God, I pray for all efforts that we make as we pass out cards, Lord, and in our community, Lord, as we knock on doors. God, I pray, Lord, that all these efforts would bring forth fruit of lives transformed and changed. And God, I pray, Lord, that perhaps there might be some here today that, Lord, that need to feel a place of connection and calling where they can be used of the Lord to comfort others and minister to others. I pray that in Jesus' name, God, that you would strengthen and bless, God. And God, those who cannot come to Celebrate Recovery, God, in the world that they live in the office they live in the family they're a part of, God, in the network of relationships that they have, God, in their sphere of social influence, God, I pray, Lord, that you would open up our eyes to be able to see the hurt and the need that's all around us, and use us today. In Jesus' name, amen.